Australian Survivor.
Survivor New Zealand.
Survivor.
Survivor. Survivor.
21 South Africans. 12 ordinary Australians.
16 New Zealanders.
Winter Federal.
Swammerheist.
£1 million.
Million euro.
Million shekels.
1 million rubles.
Hello everyone, Shannon Guss here, getting you ready for a special ex interview for week 5. We will be having a part 2 with, I assumedly, another 2 ex interviews, or 1 depending on how non-eliminations go, but I wanted to put this out early and by itself, because how often do you get to interview on an official exit interview Nikki Danza, who is RHAP's own, you know, the only reason I'm on this podcast. It was a very weird and very strange full circle moment. It was devastating, but it was also my favorite ex interview ever, obviously. So I just wanted to put it out there because I know that the RHAP community really does support Nick and he loves them right back. And I thought that I didn't want this to wait a couple of days. I wanted it out by itself and now. So this is it. My ex interview with Nick, and then more will be coming. The recap with Mike Bloom. Oh my God, thank God. I have Mike Bloom on the recap this week to just basically pat me on the head, the proverbial head, as I am sad through the podcast. But we will be recapping it, and until then, here is my chat with Nick.
All right, Shen, how are you going?
Nick, I want to officially welcome you to the podcast and your official RHAP exit interview.
Shannon, this is so weird. Do you believe we're doing this?
I hate it a lot. I hate it.
Oh my God. This is like, you know, you talk about full circle moments, but this has got to go way beyond full circle.
Yeah, that's probably why I feel dizzy. been spinning around. I feel really sad, but
yeah.
I'm not allowed to cry on the exit interview. So
I've already told you, Shannon, there's no crying in the exit interview, okay? Because I told you that if you start crying, then I'll start crying, and then we'll all start crying, and then it's just, no, we can't have that.
Can't do it.
Only happiness.
Yes, we're celebrating the game that you played. I have questions, because I'm a professional, about your game. So, these are them. Okay.
Can we just start with the fact that this is not the total conversation. This is just a teaser to the deep dive. So everyone out there who's listening in RHAP land, like, this is just to whet your appetite. And I think we're going to try and set a record for the longest podcast that's ever going to occur in the history of the Survivor AU coverage.
I agree, and I also love that you're trying to take over my exit interview.
Yeah, well, hey, come on. You got to let me have this. I just got voted out.
Why don't you ask me some questions? All right, we have a time limit. We do want to give the listeners something before the deep dive,
okay,
which will be after the season, everyone, so just wait for that. But I want to talk about this terrible swap that you got put in. David was coming for you so early on. Why? Why? We hated it.
Didn't you know it was a blindside, Shannon?
Mm-hmm.
No, look, it was just one of those things where I believe that Dave refuses to be one of a group of people that are shiny. Like, he has to be the shiniest star in the galaxy. I said this in another interview. And I feel like he was threatened by the fact that I had maybe like a Survivor legacy, and he also felt extremely threatened by the fact that I had really strong connections on the other side. And look, if you were him and you were saying, well, do I want to risk having Nick around, or do I want to risk having Tarzan around? Like, where are you going to go? Because I think I'd probably choose Tarzan. So I don't begrudge him what he was doing. He just kind of was, it was myopic almost in a way that he had to kind of get me and Phoebe out. And it just made it extremely difficult to move, because once he had locked in that group of people that were working with him, I had so few options.
Yeah. I mean, well, let's talk some other people on this tribe, Nick. I got to say, I don't think I'm biased in saying just a terrible swap for you. Really bad situation. You get Zach back from exile, someone you just voted to exile, and you said in your voting confession.
What's up with that?
Yeah. Well, I think it was a gender thing, but it was bad luck. Bad luck. But you said in your voting confessional that you know, you've been trying to get on the same page. What had that relationship been like since he came back?
That's a really good question, because one of the things that probably didn't get shown was my relationship with Zach. Like, he was on the outs of every single vote before the swap, and he never voted correctly. The only time he voted correctly was when he voted for Michelle, and that was only because literally 30 seconds before he stood up to vote, I whispered, "Vote Michelle, vote Michelle. It's not Sean, vote Michelle." And he said, "What?" And he goes, "I said, vote for Michelle, trust me, get on the right side of the vote." And that's why he walked up and he looked all confused and voted for Michelle. It was the only time he was on the right side of the vote. And he just felt like he was always kind of the low man on the totem pole, which he was. And I tried to build that relationship and it never quite worked. And then I was like scrambling to vote him off for exile. He didn't really know that. He thought that I voted for Shawnee in the end because we were able to kind of cover our tracks with that. But it just was never going to work. We were never going to get back on the same page. And then in struts this big muscular man in Dave, who is ready to kind of scoop him up. And Dave did a great job. And it was one of those things where you can see it happening in front of you. And I would try and try, but like the book had already been written on Zach and I, and that's why it needed to be burnt.
I love all your analogies. I was talking to my brother last night. He was like, at least Nick's demise was poetic. I'm like, was it poetic? It just felt like being like hit over the head with a hammer repeatedly. I didn't really see the poetry.
Beautiful hammer.
Yeah, it wasn't poetic to me. It was more just painful. But he said it was like a tragedy, like a Greek tragedy, I guess. So I got to talk about Sean, who was your ally, I guess, but not a good one. Where did it go wrong with Sean to the point where she never had your back as much as you would hope an ally should have one's back?
Yeah, it's funny because like you go back once you voted out and you do the audit of what you think happened. And I was saying to my wife, I was like, you know, Sean and I, we worked really closely together, blah, blah, blah. And then when you actually pick it apart, you're like, wait a second.
When?
Sean wasn't really working with me any of the times. Like there were so many times where the plan was contingent on Sean because she always put herself right in the middle of the road. And Aubrey Bracco said it, we all know the quote, you know, she's going to get run over if she keeps staying in the middle of the road. And that's what kind of made me think, oh my God, like surely she's not in the middle of the road. No one would willingly put themselves in here, because when you make so many promises, you're going to upset everyone. Like, and that's why when I go back and I think about my time with Sean, I wanted to work with her to the end. Like maybe because I felt like I could beat her, but I just thought that we worked really well together, but it was definitely a blind spot of my game. She did not want to go to the end with me, and if she did, she certainly dropped me like a hot potato when she realized that Moana was on the scene. And Moana and I was just something that was, I don't know, I just, Moana said to me on the first day that she arrived at our beach, she said, "Nick, I love the way you played Survivor Season 1. You played with honor and integrity, and that's who I want to play with." And I went, holy crap, she has no idea who I am. And when she finds out who I am screwed.
Who do you think she thought you were? You think she just made it up?
I just think that Moana's powers of observation out there are being, look, they're good. They've got her to this point, but like there are huge blind spots in her game. And one of them being that, I would say after living with her for maybe like a week and a half, she sat me down and I tried to have a conversation with her and I tried to ask her questions about her life. And I know so much about her life, and I realized that it had been about 12 days and she hadn't asked me a single question about mine. And then eventually it got really awkward. We were sitting in silence and she said, "So, have you got like a son or something?"
Oh no.
And I was like, "Oh my God, Moana, you just saw a video of my daughter." Like, I
think not after the video.
This was after the video. And it was just like, there is no coming back. There is no, she does not want to work with me. She doesn't know who I am. She doesn't know anything about me. And it sucked because it was yet another door that was closed off, which look, in all fairness, I closed it first by voting for her, but it was never going to be opened. And I just felt like that tribe had so few openings for me. It was really tough.
Yeah, I mean, you did vote for her like 4 times, like the maximum amount one could vote for someone in a tribal council, but...
Yes, Shawnee and I now officially have the record in all of Survivor history of voting for someone the most times in one tribal council. 3 times. And Shawnee voted for Steve 3 times in her season. So I think it's crazy that there's this really strange moment, a strange historical record that both Shawnee and I oddly share.
I think it was Sean that she voted for 3 times, actually.
Oh, sorry.
Just bringing it back to that connection. That extra vote, Pandora's box, doesn't carry through the re-vote. Yeah, that was, what were you trying to do with that? Like, that was a tough one.
That was a choice, wasn't it? That was a choice to have it not carry through on the re-vote, Channel 10. That was tough. Look, you did such a great job of explaining it beautifully. And the thing with that extra vote was, so few times in history does it work, if ever. I can't remember the exact stats, but I'm pretty sure it's never worked, like where it's been the deciding factor. Because for an extra vote to be a deciding factor, Shannon, you know, you have to go into tribal with a tied vote.
Yeah, like the stealer vote often mostly doesn't work, vote. And that's way more powerful.
Had I had a stealer vote, well, then we've got a completely different story. And you know, the extra vote was just, I felt like it was never going to work. And I had no issue pulling it out and playing it in that moment, because had I not got what I needed in that episode and Moana goes home, I'm going home the next one in like a 7-1 or at least like a 5-3. And an extra vote has zero power. So at that point, I thought, do you know what? My game hinges on whether Moana or Phoebe goes home. I'm just going to throw this at the wall and see if something sticks. It was better tied up than to go into the next vote. Like, how sad would that have been if it had been 7 votes for me and 2 votes for Zach? And both of them were from me.
It's very sad anyway. But yeah,
I stand by my decision.
Yeah, no, I get it. It's a useless advantage. If anything, you pointed out how useless it was, and I appreciate that because it's just... Yeah. So useless.
Like, when I opened up that box, I thought there was going to be the advantage that Luke got, where you get to send someone home from tribal. I thought there was going to be what Harry got, which was the cancel a tribal. Like,
it anything was not powerful? Like,
for the amount of effort you had to go through, you had to find the key, then you had to open it up in front of someone, and it had a time limit. Like, how was that an advantage?
It's so bad. You know, death to all extra votes. No more of this. We're not pretending this is an advantage anymore when it's just basically like a fun piece of paper. It's not even fun.
It was fun to pull it out of my pen.
Yeah. I have so many questions. For the deep dive, we'll talk about your short strategy and why it was bad, but I don't think we have time today. So the reward, you get to see Brooke and Shawnee. You don't pull them away. Do you look back and think like maybe you should have just like pulled them aside at whatever cost and been like, I am dying?
No, because they got the message. They literally got the message. They went back to camp and they knew that I was next. Like what else could I have said? Like, it was so clear. I got to the point across to Shawnee that Dave was in charge. One of the things that wasn't shown is that Dave actually had a fake idol. He had made a fake idol out of the gem that was on the fishing kit in, we saw him make it, earlier in the season?
Yeah.
He had actually shown that to me and showed me that he had it. He actually slipped that to Brooke during that reward, as a way to kind of make it seem like he was on the bottom. That he was protecting them. It never really computed with them why that happened. And I don't know whether that's a bad on me or bad on him, but they definitely, regardless of all that, they went back saying, Nick is in trouble and he is stuffed. Like, Shawnee and I were able to get away with Zach only. And even in that moment, I thought, forget, I don't mind. I'll say it all in front of Zach. I said, Shawnee, I'm going home. Zach and I have been targeting each other. We're going to not do that in the future. But, you know, I'm next. I'm definitely next. Dave's running the tribe and I'm in a dire position. So they got the message. It just still didn't matter.
Mm. What about Lee? You know, someone that you've had a checkered past with, but who seemed to be like your closest ally, like the shining light of a sad tribe by the end. And I'm here for it.
Oh, I have so much love for Lee.
Imagine you saying this, Nick. Like, listen to yourself. Yeah.
I know, right? Could you imagine, like, just, I think people, you know, everyone sees what happens on Survivor and we see, like, rivals and fights and things like that, but what they don't see is the 4 years since that moment and how that moment then cements in a relationship. And it basically just kind of went caustic. And we only saw each other twice in those 4 years. One of them was with Elle and my partner, and Elle and my partner acted as the buffer while Lee and I just awkwardly sat there. And was another time when Lee came to Adelaide and I took him out to breakfast. And it was, again, it was a really awkward interaction. And the fact that we went out there and on day one sat next to each other and said, okay, let's hash this out. what happened. And we went through the whole thing, and everyone was fascinated. They would sit around and watch us have this kind of like very open therapy session, which was so necessary that it needed to happen. And I think within like 20 minutes, we looked at each other and said, I remember why I like you. I remember why we got along so well in the first game. And I think maybe it helped me being a dad. It helped that maybe he and Elle had broken up because I was always closer friends with Elle. And I just think there was lots that came into the decision there. And I'm really proud of the relationship I have with Lee and the fact that, you know, yes, he turned on me in the end, but, you know, so did Sean, so did lots of people. So whatever.
You know, you've been the mayor of Ponderosa, Drury Villa, and now you just miss out on the merge. And I know for you, like, a big thing was, like, getting to go back to Paloma, and that was, like, something you really wanted, but it might be a bit different being in the game and wanting to finish it out and maybe wanting to make the jury and go further. Did you want that in the end? Were you happy to just miss out if it meant going to Paloma instead of making maybe a few more days but then having to be gone the whole time?
Yeah, look, everyone says, I want to make the merge. And, like, I have no interest in making the merge if I'm going to get voted out. Like, the first time I knew that I was just scraping the merge, just scraping jury, and that I wasn't going to go any further, which is why I was like, okay, well, the consolation prize is I get to be on the jury. This time, being on the jury does not interest me at all, because I've done that experience. So it was, getting to the merge was not about being on the jury or getting that colored buff. It was about getting back to people who wanted to play with me. So I don't really lament the fact that I didn't make the merge. It's more about, I lament the fact that, like, holy crap, my game was about to explode open in so many different ways. Like, I had a relationship with AK. Brooke and I are friends from the real life. We played together. She was at my wedding. Harry and Shawnee, obviously. Sean and Lee, a lot more willing to play with other people that they don't know or they, you know, want to play with but are unsure about if I'm there. And I just feel like I really had so many options, and I was ready to ditch Moana, Tarzan, Dave and Zach in a heartbeat. Mm-hmm. Jackie, I like. But I like them all, to be honest. But, like, I wanted to work with Jackie long-term, but I was ready to ditch everyone. So they made the right decision.
Yeah, I mean, okay, if you had gone to the merge, say they save you, you go to merge, and you're still in a minority, do you think Lee and then possibly Sean do come over, or do you think they're sticking with the Moana side?
Okay, so this is the thing that, like, I really can't wait to get to the deep dive and explain in more detail. But if Harry, I actually had a fake idol. I had made a fake idol, and it was made up of parts of the Pandora's Box stuff. I had the key, I had string, I had the wrapping, I had a note. It looked absolutely unreal. It didn't have the gem, but, like, the power of suggestion was definitely there, with a very high-class look from, you know, if I had to hold it in my hand in the package. So if Harry had given me that advantage, I would have probably not told Lee and Sean about it, but I would have said, hey, guys, Harry gave me this idol. And then all of a sudden, they have to decide who they're going to vote for. And now Lee and Sean are going, well, they're probably going to vote for me. And now it starts to kind of blow open, like, well, guys, you're the backup vote. They're not going to vote for each other. You're the backup vote. What do you want to do? Do you want to go into merge with these people and then pull out the Harry's advantage at tribal council, make sure no one goes home, because I could play a little riskier knowing that literally no one was going home. And now I go into the merge, not only in the merge, but with Lee and Sean, knowing that I was willing to, A, play an idol for them, and that, B, everyone else was willing to target them as the backup vote. And now we have a completely different game.
This is going to be a lot to talk about in the deep dive. It's going to be a very long chat. Before, I'm not used to having a time restriction on our conversations. I'm, like, very cognizant of it. Before I do let you go, I need to ask if you would play again.
I think I've hung up the buff for now. Like, it takes too much out of your life. I've been so lucky to have my story told twice. I have done so many things on my Survivor bucket list. I got to check off way more things than I thought I could this time. I literally thought I was going to be the first person voted out. That I just don't know what a third time would look like for me. But I did say that last time. And a lot of the listeners right now are probably thinking, yeah, he's fed us that line before. So I'm not going to make a definitive statement either way. I'm just going to say that I just don't know if the show would be interested in that.
They would.
If the fans would be interested in that.
We are.
Or if I would be interested in that in the future. So, well, let's just, I'm going to be a lot more ambiguous this time and say, who knows?
Well, Nick, I'm so proud of you, and you are great, and you did great, and you won, and the season is over, and we're not watching anymore, so.
Shannon, I know we're going to talk way more in the deep dive. Everyone brace yourselves for that, but I need to say two things. One, Shannon, you are the best cheerleader that anyone could ever have in their corner, and to know that you are always in my corner was such an amazing thing, to know that while I was out there that you were going to be in my corner when I got back. And two, the whole IHAP community means so much to me. You guys all know that. I've loved being a member. I've loved being a podcaster. I've loved being a player. And I cannot wait to kind of give you all the juicy deets that I know you want and I'm ready to spill. So until we meet again, IHAP community, I'll say farewell.
Yes, post-season, but we got to go before I break my no crying rule. It's been
no,
a day.
No, don't cry. You made it so far.
I can't. Anyway.
Oh, my God, no.
Just hang up, okay? Just hang up.
Okay. Bye, Shannon. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Okay, everyone, there you have it, my exit interview with Nick Iadanza. Something that if you told me 2.5 years ago when I was his intern that we were doing, I wouldn't have believed you, because that's completely insane. I'm so proud of Nick. He did amazing. He represented the community so well. And everything he did was just joy. Every confessional, every challenge, everything, even when he was in bad situations, just the joy emanated from him. And I felt joyful watching him. And now I feel very sad, if you could not tell from before. So, yeah, we're going to try to put that behind us, keep going through the week. As I said, recap with Mike Bloom, more exit interviews to come. Survivor Global with Mike Fenta is something I did last week. So it is all happening, but we take a moment, we pull one out for our RHAP person who represented us and did great. And thank you guys all so much for listening to this special exit interview, and I will see you on the next podcast. Bye.
Survivor.
Adventure of a lifetime.
Adventure of a lifetime.